plate a potential nugget.
A couple of questions as we wrap up, Raj. Mm-hmm. One is maybe changing the topic to children, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a parent of two young kids, 10 and 6. What's been your research around raising happy kids? What are some of the things we should think about as parents? And where do you think people, what are common places where you see people trip in the way they think about raising children? Any insights there?
Yeah, sure. So I actually just recently got a paper accepted that's coming out soon on the impact of parental love that children get experienced mm-hmm. when they are young, and the impact that that has on their future financial success. And we were very lucky to get hold of this data set from Canada, which followed the same set of respondents for about 25 years. These respondents are about 35, 40 years old now. And we got them from right around when they were about 5 years old to about 15 years old. And they responded with four waves of surveys. And it collected lots of things, including the level of love that these children got as kids. And the dependent variable is their financial success now, right? Mm-hmm. Which we define as not just how much money they have and how much money they perceive that they have. So subjective kind of success, as well as more objective income level success, and also stress. You know, how much debt they have, and how much credit card loans they have, and so on. And what we find is that there is a really significant positive effect of parental love, okay, parental nurturance that these children get as kids, these respondents got as kids, and where they are now financially in their life, okay. So in answering this question, I think it's useful to think about two kind of dimensions. Okay, one is the amount of love that children get, which can be taken as, you know, whether the parents really, truly, deeply care for the children's well-being and are willing to kind of, you know, go out of their way to help them out. For example, you know, wake up at 4 a.m. if the children have to study and make them Horlicks or Bonvita or whatever, you know, and make sure that they're getting good quality sleep at night. Make good food for them, all kinds of normal things that you would think of, you know, in a loving mm-hmm. household. So you can envision this graph in your head, one dimension, the vertical dimension being amount of love that the kids get, low to high. And the other dimension is the amount of discipline that they get, right? Mm-hmm. That are the rules in the house, and do they have to follow the rules? And if they're not followed, then they're disciplined, maybe through punishment, and maybe through other means, right? And so, mm-hmm. again, you can imagine low versus high, okay? And mm-hmm. these four cells that come out have actually been named, and the researcher that does a lot of work on this is, or used to do a lot of work, maybe she's not doing anymore, is a person named Baumrind, Baumrind. And so mm-hmm. the high cell, right? High levels of mm-hmm. love, high levels of discipline, that is called authoritative parenting, okay? Mm-hmm. High levels of discipline, low levels of love, that's called authoritarian parenting. And you can think of Von Trapp, right? Mm-hmm. Is it Colonel Von Trapp? Whatever, you know. So from the Sound of Music,
of course.
Yeah, so he was authoritarian, right? I mean, a lot of discipline, mm-hmm. very little love until Maria comes into the household. Okay, and mm-hmm. the low levels of love, low levels of authority, discipline, that's called negligent parenting, where, you know, the kid is just abandoned, basically. No love, no discipline. If you have read this short story called Junius Maltby, I think that is probably negligent. Actually, maybe that mm-hmm. is permissive, actually. You know, that's the fourth category, which is a lot of love and no discipline. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what we found is that, as far as we could tell, the discipline dimension wasn't that significant at all in our study. Okay. So one of the things that we worry about is that if we don't discipline our kids when they're growing up, then they're going to end up being messed up. You know, they're not going to be able to be diligent in pursuing their passions. They're not going to put in those 10,000 hours. And they're not going to be successful. They're going to fritter it all away. And that's a big, deep worry that a lot of parents have. Okay. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying that discipline is not important, but I think it's a little bit less important than we think it is. Okay. And if it comes to a compromise or a trade-off between love and discipline, I think that love should always trump. Love should always trump, okay? And sometimes what we do, and we are very good at this as human beings, is that in the garb of love, we end up passing what is actually our pet desire, right? And so for a very stark example of this, that, you know, we want our kids to really succeed in, let's say, playing the piano, right? And we give them, like, you know, very harsh, meet out harsh punishment if they end up not practicing enough, you know, we tell them that it's all for you. It's for you good because I love you that I do this. Okay. So in the garb of love, we kind of end up being martinets, strict martinets that are even willing to psychologically punish our kids so that they achieve our goals. So I would say that as a parent, I think one thing you need to do is you need to kind of step back a little bit and ask yourself, why do I want them to achieve this goal? And really be deep, like truly honest to yourself about why, right? And I think that many parents will discover that one of the reasons why they want their kids to achieve these goals is because they themselves did not achieve these goals. Okay, so it's a kind of a vicarious way of fulfilling what happens to be your pet dream. And you want to, now that you failed in achieving it, and often it's the case that these parents themselves were probably subject to a lot of discipline without love from their parents. And at that point, they reacted violently against it or passive aggressively against it. And they didn't learn to play the piano as a kid or mridangam or what have you. And now they're kind of regretting it and they wish that they had actually learned. Okay. And they kind of, you know, absorb that blame to some extent. And now they're kind of like, it's like ragging, right? I mean, you just pass it on to the next generation. Okay. There's a much, much better approach. And the approach is got to do with love, you know? So if you truly want your kids to achieve this thing, you know, you want them to achieve, great heights in piano, then why don't you learn it yourself right now? Right? Sit down with them and practice with it rather than telling them, you know what, you go and practice next 2 hours, you're going to practice. I shouldn't hear a peep from you. I should only hear you play the piano. Right. And meanwhile, you're sitting there watching a sitcom or, one of these shows, soap operas on TV. What's that message, you know, to your kid? The message is that what they care about is my achievements. Okay. And I'm only loved to the extent that I achieve things. That's not a good message to send to your kid. Okay. It's going to mess them up. So you learn it yourself. You make it creative. Maybe tell them that, look, okay, let's figure out the song, okay, the piano for the song, and we're going to sit down and I'll learn how to play the guitar or I'll sing, okay, and I want you to kind of learn the piano, okay, and play the piano parts. And sit down with them, help them out, make it a game, gamify it, have a lot of laughter, a lot of creativity, a lot of love. And that's a much better approach, much better parenting approach, okay? So it's a very big area, right? I mean, how to raise happy kids. One of the other things that I would say very quickly is transmit messages to them that nurture a sense of abundance in them rather than a scarcity mindset, okay? So if they come back from a game of cricket, okay, rather than ask them, did you win? How much runs did you score? How many wickets did you take? Let the first question be, did you have a good time? Did you enjoy yourself? Okay? Did you help other people out? Okay? If you're playing a game in which that is relevant, like assists in basketball. Okay, so those are much better questions. In fact, Adam Grant, we talked about him quite a bit, right, earlier. One of the practices that he has on a daily basis, I think, maybe weekly, but certainly weekly, if not daily basis, is to ask his children, who did you help out? Who are the three people you helped out today, right? Because he knows that helping other people out is a much more reliable determinant of success than striving for superiority over other people. And so in a similar vein, we know that abundance-minded people are not just happier, they're more successful as well. So encourage this sense of abundance, okay? Ask them if they're pursuing their passion, if they're having fun, if they're enjoying themselves, if they're helping other people out, rather than encouraging social comparisons. You know, don't ask your child, okay, how come you're not reading big books like Amy does? You know, she's already finished the Harry Potter series and here you are still reading, you know, Tintin or something. Those kinds of things, you know, in the short run, it might make the kid insecure and make them pursue, goals. But in the long run, you're really messing them up. That's not a very good strategy at all.
Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com.